Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
When most people imagine the life of a musician, we think of glamour, fame, and a career that's far removed from the typical routines of a 9-to-5 job. But looking past this perception, the reality of daily life for many independent artists is spending hours juggling various roles beyond just practice and performance.
The administrative stuff is running just about 15 to 20 hours a week, pretty consistently. And sometimes it runs even up to 40 hours a week if there are a lot of grants that are coming up, grant deadlines or grant final reports.
That's Deborah Silvert, the flutist of the contemporary classical ensemble Duo Sequenza, based out of Northwest Indiana. Silvert is also the executive director of Sequenza Chamber Music Incorporated, a nonprofit arts organization created to support the mission of the group. Duo Sequenza is made up of Silvert and classical guitarist Paul Bowman. The two musicians joined forces in 2015 after a long hiatus, but have faced an upward battle to find funding. The popularity of classical music in general has been on a steady decline in recent decades as its cultural relevancy and visibility wanes amongst younger generations.
When we came back together as a duo in 2015, I had no idea that we were going to have to form a nonprofit. And what happened was that the climate for classical music changed dramatically. A lot of the presenters that we had relied on to book us for concerts in the past had simply folded. They didn't exist anymore. So we saw, oh my goodness, there's no, you know, we're going to really, really have to promote very heavily. We can't just rely on the presenters just to simply find us and book us. We have to really promote, which of course takes more money. And the revenue streams are very, very small. Even for the recordings, you would think, you know, with as expensive it is to produce a classical recording, that you would get some significant sum of money coming back in. And that's just not true. So if there's no nonprofit in place, I think it makes it harder to fundraise. And what I've learned is that as the executive director of SCMI, that's my main job, is raising money so that we can put the music out there.
Each week, Silvert spends her days writing grants, working on fundraising campaigns, and garnering publicity through networking in the community and on social media. She says that many artists from her generation never received formal training on how to succeed in the business of music.
Most of us are pretty introverted, and it's very hard to do the networking piece in the business community, and that's an essential piece of entrepreneurship. And it's difficult for me to do that because I may appear to be an extrovert, but really I'm not that comfortable. I go to these business networking things and I watch the people work the room. I can watch these business types. They go from person to person. They put their hand out. They, you know, they shake hands and they give their 30-second elevator pitch, you know, about what their business is and what they do. And, oh, I find that so incredibly difficult.
Despite the challenges of fundraising, Silvert pushes ahead because she believes in the preservation of classical music and the unique sound of small ensembles like Duo Sequenza. Silvert says that these funding difficulties are often overlooked due to the misconception that musical nonprofits are heavily supported by government grants.
They see the big numbers. Oh, the National Endowment for the Arts got all this millions and millions of dollars. But when it comes to, you know, individual ensembles and individual artists, it's a very, very, very small amount of money. Most of the grants require one-to-one matches. And even that is most times only marginally sort of funds a project.
In an average year, Silvert says that around 20% of funding comes from grants, while the other 80% must be gathered from private donors. This can mean individual donations as well as corporate sponsorships from local businesses. And the funding cycle never stops. It takes a lot of time and effort to generate enough money each year. And when paired with the artistic demands of being a musician, it can be an overwhelming role.
My day is very different than my guitarist partner's day because of my administrative duties for the duo. Generally, I need to practice 3 hours a day, 6 days a week, just to maintain myself as a flutist. In other words, to be sure that my tools are sharp and everything is in order as it should be, so that when I get down to learning new music or polishing pieces or what we would call woodshedding, the hard stuff, I'm not going to hurt myself or make horrible mistakes that are going to impact the music later on in a negative way. There really are so many moving parts, especially in terms of projects. We have so very many different projects, and each one, of course, has its own budget. It has its own, you know, task list, its own, you know, what to do artistically, what to do fundraising-wise, what to do publicity and marketing-wise. And, yeah, it gets to be a bit daunting when things pile up one project on top of another.
Currently, Silvert and Bowman are working to finish their second album as a chamber ensemble duo. They also perform in many different settings that people typically wouldn't think of for classical music.
We take real literature for flute and classical guitar that sort of has a theme, and we group pieces of similar theme together for a short program. It's usually 30 minutes of music at the most. And we take it out into a venue, a non-traditional venue that would match the theme. So, in other words, we do a chamber music on tap, which we take to the microbreweries where we have some Irish pub music, and we have, you know, a piece by a contemporary composer called The Drunken Friar. And people are usually just really surprised. They don't know exactly what to expect, but we give them something they didn't expect in a really good way. They really like it.
In the end, the ups and downs of being a musician and entrepreneur are worth it when the duo receives this kind of feedback from fans. Despite the hardships of working within classical music, Silvert still recommends this career path to young people if they're passionate about their craft.
For me, there's nothing that could possibly be any more satisfying. No matter how difficult it is, there's just nothing else for me that would be more rewarding or more satisfying than being able to make music and give that to listeners. Now, I think things would have been much easier for Paul and I at this point in our lives had we not taken the 21 years away from concertizing, but that was life. It happened. He was in Europe. I was here in the States. I was raising 4 kids and a few of them with special needs, and it was just the way it was. So I think that for young people going in, eyes wide open, I think now a lot of the conservatories and music schools, they have arts administration programs. They have recognized that the entrepreneurship piece is vital, and you've got to have that going on, too. You cannot just be a musician and practice and hope for the best.
Music is a competitive and challenging field, but one that's equally rewarding. To support the musical work of Deborah Silvert, Paul Bowman, and Duo Sequenza, visit duosequenza.com. That's duosequenza.com. For more resources and to find archives of past shows, go to viewpointsradio.org. This segment was written and produced by Amira Zaveri. Studio production by Jason Dickey. I'm Marty Peterson.
Viewpoints returns in just a moment.
Cardiovascular or CV disease is the number one killer of adults in the U.S., and millions of people trying to reduce their risk of a heart attack or stroke may unknowingly be taking medications that are not proven nor FDA approved to reduce cardiovascular risk. Let's hear from cardiologist Dr. John Osborne.
Many people are unaware that after a failed outcome study, the FDA revoked the approval of fenofibrates when added to statins, as the risk outweighed the benefits to heart health. it's important to remember that statins, along with diet and exercise, can lower cardiovascular risk by about 25 to 35%. But persistent cardiovascular risk, which can lead to a life-threatening event, may remain. I would tell anyone still being prescribed phenofibrates, such as Tricor and Trilipix, with a statin, to talk to their doctor about FDA-approved therapies for cardiovascular risk reduction.
To learn more and get clear on the facts, visit itscleartomenow.com. Again, that's itscleartomenow.com.
And that's Viewpoints for this week. Viewpoints is a production of MediaTracks Communications. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more about upcoming shows. And find a library of past programs on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and more information about our guests at viewpointsradio.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Viewpoints. Coming up next week.
When this began, of course, there were no N95 masks. People also couldn't source elastic, so people were making masks.
How one man's disposable mask can be a historian's treasure. Then,
the people that wear these pieces are key to their iconic status, because I guess it's an icon on an icon.
Why do some pieces stay fashionable for generations? I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.